The good, the bad, and the alternative. By Madame Melon Meow and Sarcastic Celery. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Chapter 1. Nocturnal Spectre. Clouds and rain for the next few weeks at least. Keep your umbrellas. President Obama has taken yet another stride towards complete integration of alternate peoples into the laws and rights granted to all people by the Constitution of the United States of America, and with his executive order to offer sanctuary to any and all living creatures who would choose to join the nation in our period of reconstruction. Only time will tell how these individuals who have always been living with us unseen will affect the country's future. NFL planning to begin practice for the upcoming season of hope this fall, in lieu of the 3-year. A heavy hand shut the radio off with a clunk. Officer Andrews wiped the weariness from his eyes. The long ride from Vegas to Louisiana was starting to take its toll on him. The swampy state needed as many first responders as it could get. He didn't believe they were still pulling people from flood zones, but there were certainly enough people displaced to cause an interstate emigration crisis that was ongoing. The open desert sky was broken up by fractured gray clouds lazing over the starry expanse. He glanced at his squad car's clock. 2:11 a.m. He had skipped Amarillo to make better time and was starting to regret it. He'd be hitting Wichita in an hour or so, get a coffee in a motel bed. He spun the gold band encircling his right ring finger.
I hope I'm doing what you think would be right, Melissa, he thought.
3 years since the suburb catastrophe. 3 years since he lost her. He wasn't sure what to think of all those people that came out of hiding after the meteors. Fairies, werewolves, mermaids, world gone mad.
But they helped,
he had to remind himself.
Probably could have taken over what was left of the world if they wanted to. Instead, they reached down and pulled us out of the rubble. Whether that was with a furred or a scaled hand, it shouldn't matter.
The world had changed, and humanity would have to figure itself out. The squad car's high beams reflected off of something on the side of the road about eye level. Andrews immediately pressed the brakes, slowing down to see what it was. A dark shape came into sight, a tall figure with thin legs, very long pitch-black hair, and an irregular gait staggering eastward. He saw the figure had only one shoe and was limping, favoring the barefoot. He stopped a safe distance away, turning the high beams off and half-stepping out of his car.
"Excuse me," he called. "You all right there?"
The figure turned. It was a girl. Couldn't have been older than 16, face gaunt, in fact her whole body looked as thin as a rail. He saw the glint was originating from a pair of aviators perched atop her head that was missing a lens. Her clothes were ill-fitting and bloody. Underneath a considerable amount of red, Andrews thought he could make out a graphic of a cartoony gray alien on her shirt. "Lord almighty," he muttered to himself. Orphaned kids weren't anything new since the catastrophe, but this was the middle of the night and the middle of the desert.
"What are you doing out here, kid?"
he asked, walking over to get a closer look to see if she was injured. She coughed.
"Are you hurt?"
She shook her head slightly. Andrews frowned in doubt.
"You think you got your head on straight enough to be making that call?"
After a moment, she shook her head again. Andrews sniffed.
"All right, come on and hop in the car. Should be a hospital in a bit if I take the next exit."
He gestured at the squad car. She shifted from foot to foot and croaked something that only sounded vaguely like speech. Andrews couldn't parse it.
"Come on, kid, you're clearly not in a good way. I promise I'll get you somewhere safe."
He kept his hand on his waist so as not to spook her. Reluctantly, she shuffled her way to the car, making her way to the back seat.
"You can sit up front if you want,"
Andrews said, getting the door for her. She shook her head.
"All right, whatever makes you comfortable."
He returned to the driver's seat, adjusting the mirror to keep an eye on the girl through the protective glass. She sat in silence, hunching in on herself. He pulled out the paper map he'd drawn his route on. GPS was even more spotty in rural areas since the catastrophe.
"Looks like maybe 40 minutes out. That sound good?" he said back to the girl. She mumbled something in a raspy voice.
Andrews half turned back towards her as he marked the hospital on the map.
"Come again?"
She took a dry swallow to clear her throat.
"Hungry," the pale girl whispered.
"Shoot,
Andrews looked around the car, guiltily glancing past an empty 3-pack from Krispy Kreme.
"Tell you what, first 24 spot we pass, I can get you something, yeah?"
The girl was silent. Andrews took this as acceptance and started heading down the road once again, figuring the girl wouldn't be much for conversation or forthcoming about why she was wandering down a highway at the witching hour. He turned the radio back on, tuning it around to see what could be picked up. 37 flooded all the way up to Mathis.
So-called alternative peoples is a crock. This is the devil's work.
Still a wasteland from the meteor fall density, Californians may have to accept.
Seen leaving Roswell, New Mexico in a stolen 2009 Lexus, which was found crashed just outside of Brownfield, Texas. The owner of the vehicle
The girl stiffened.
Andrews did not notice, but kept listening, raising the volume slightly.
Her claws. Again, the suspect is a highly dangerous alternative, name unknown. Anyone who sees a teenage girl matching the following description should not approach her and call 911 immediately. The suspect is about 110 pounds, 5 feet and 8 inches tall, with back-length black hair and eyes that can appear yellow or blue, likely wearing stolen clothing. We repeat, do not approach. This alternative is dangerous to a lethal extent.
Untrained civilian hand snapped to his service pistol, but a bloody, bony, claw-like hand punched straight through the protective glass from the back seat and seized his neck. The squad car careened off the road, plowing over a highway marker and eventually coming to a stop in the dust. A gunshot sounded, and the vehicle continued to shudder from the inside for a brief moment before coming to a dreadful stillness. A scorpion, its burrow disturbed by the off-roading, scuttled from the sand and disdainfully crossed the black of the road to distance itself from the rude drivers.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same authors, visit the AO3 pages of Madam Melon Meow and Sarcastic Celery. Constant Conquest by Michael Guy Bowman. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at sangabrielvo.com. And there you can learn about other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.